Viva Mexico. Domesticated turkeys took a circuitous route to America's dinner tables. They were first domesticated in Mexico and then exported to Europe, only to come back here a year later. How Mexican. Couldn't keep them out. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so we're about to kick off. This is Hey You Know It Thanksgiving. We're giving thanks to ourselves.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, and to white wine.
To tasteful white wine. So I want to kick off with the most important thing in America about Thanksgiving, and that is Black Friday. Black Friday.
I was just gonna guess, and then I had something.
What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say turkey.
No, Black Friday. Commerce. This is America. That's not American. So in the past, we reported on Black Friday. It's like a big rush. It's the day after Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. They're not even waiting anymore. JCPenney, Macy's, Kohl's, Target, Walmart, Kmart, KRS-One, Sears, and Toys R Us are opening on Thanksgiving Day
at
8 o'clock.
Oh, I heard 6 a.m. And the thing is...
No, the day of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
At 6 a.m.?
That's what I heard, but you have 8 a.m. down.
Yeah, it's 8 p.m. It says here that Black Friday, deals start on Thanksgiving, which is Thursday, at 8 p.m.
Oh, okay.
But they're saying that a lot of the deals don't start until the next morning, but the stores, the Black Friday is starting at 8 p.m. Who in the Sam Hill is going to be able to roll their trichinosis ass away from the table?
Right.
Belt unbuckled from eaten so much.
I know. It's all the people that didn't do any of the preparing of the food.
Yes.
The ones that just kind of roll in.
They just rolled in at 3.
Whatever, a bottle of wine, maybe.
But it says here, this means if you start shopping at 8 p.m., you could find yourself missing an entire night of sleep, which means you're probably likely to overspend on Black Friday for the great sales.
What's the point of going out shopping if the sale isn't happening?
First of all, why can't you just relax after the meal? Do you know what I mean? Just chill out.
I have never bought, I think I bought one thing once on Black Friday. And
Did you fight a bitch? Did you cut anybody?
No, I upgraded my phone.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all I have ever done. I haven't gone out looking for...
And
I've never cut a bitch. No.
I'm not in that situation, no. I have never gone out on Black Friday. I think that's the worst day of the year to go shopping. Usually on Black Friday, we're just like hanging out, eating leftovers. I usually stay up kind of late on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
This year will be no exception. I will most likely on Black Friday be hungover.
Yes,
I hope so. Right. I mean, that to me signals a good Thanksgiving.
That's right. You should be sleeping late, get up, and eat Thanksgiving again.
Yeah, have Thanksgiving all over again. Right. Maybe we watch something on TV, Lord of the Rings
sit
or Star Wars,
sit
around and relax. I am not going to be hightailing it out to JCPenney, Kohl's, Macy's. These are places that I don't shop at anyway. Do you know what I'm saying?
And do you really want to see everybody else?
No.
This is your day off, people.
Yeah, you should be. And it's really bad because I feel bad for the people who work these stores.
Mm-hmm.
I've had friends and family members in the past who have done, side work at Walmart or, Toys R Us or whatever. That's not cool.
Mm-mm.
You're going to be, really, at 8 p.m. you have to be at your job on Thanksgiving?
Right.
Because some asshole wants a Furby from, 1990. I mean, it's like...
A Furby?
What is
where'd you pull out
That's the only thing I could think of. That's something that people used to fight over.
Right.
And they're saying the reason why they're doing it is because the retailers are fearful that if they don't get to the wallet early, they'll lose out. There's only so much wallet to go around, people.
Right.
Just chill out.
And they're always going to make more.
Yeah,
I always think of that Doritos slogan, crunch all you want, they'll make more.
More.
You don't have to buy everything.
It's so bizarre to me. And they're also predicting that people are going to spend less. Right. So in order to get all this money, Kmart is having a 41-hour shopping marathon. Let it be clear here, people, that no one can shop for 41 hours.
Mm.
The only marathon is the fact that the store is going to be open.
The only time you need the store to be open is around Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, because you're working. Because you're working.
But also there's people, like when I lived in Easton, it's like a mid-sized town. Like you have people work shift. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what if they work a double shift and they come off shift late and they want to pick up something for their kids or their family, yeah, whatever.
Exactly. That's fine. The time. Then that's what.
But a 41-hour shopping marathon?
No, it's
because it's so hard to shop in America. It's so hard.
So hard to find. And then find something on sale.
We don't have the internet in America. Yeah. So it's really difficult at any moment. Like Katie and I, right now, if we wanted to order something from Target, we couldn't.
Yeah. Right.
We couldn't just whip out our phone or go to Target uptown or downtown.
Or an iPad or walk out the door or get to
And we need that item now. Mm-hmm. At 8, it pains me to think that someone is going to eat a huge meal and then bust chops to get over to Kmart.
It bothers me even more for the hosts of Thanksgiving.
And people are leaving.
Who, first of all, cleaned their house, busted out all the...
What if it's the host?
The Thanksgiving ware. No.
Yeah.
Shopped.
Yeah.
Prepped the meal, did all
And
that
everyone's
stuff.
Breaking away from the table.
And
at 7.
Served it. And then everyone gets up and goes shopping and says, thanks, bye. I think it's just an insult.
It's rude. The holiday is really about stuffing yourself silly.
Yeah.
The shopping, we can shop whenever we want.
The gluttony.
Yeah, whenever you, but this is about getting together, having the fight with your family member.
Yeah.
The dodgy uncle.
We want the awkwardness.
Yeah, the unrepentant cousin that no one understands, look different than everybody else. Yeah. How did he get in here in the first place? Yeah. It's just so 41-hour Black Friday.
And then you get the prodigal one walking in.
Yes.
And everyone's like, hi. And it's like, what? I've been here all this time.
Someone posted up on Facebook, they were like, don't shop on Thanksgiving. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'm down with that.
Right, right.
I'm not going to do that anyway.
I think these are the big Facebook things this year.
Don't shop.
Don't shop on Thanksgiving.
Retailers are probably angry.
And for, what was it, for Halloween, it's like culture is not a costume.
Yes, but you know what? People couldn't help themselves.
Yeah.
People have got to do blackface, Katie. We can't take it away from people. Yeah. They can't. I was like, well, maybe I should just have a blackface party. So everybody just comes, do a little blackface, get the little Al Jolson situation going on.
Get people, it out of your system.
I always say it, like I say it every year, I dress as Marie Antoinette. And how come I didn't have to do whiteface, but everybody knew what
right,
I was?
Right, right.
The important thing about these characters is not the color of their skin, it's their style, their flair.
Yeah.
Ellen dressed up as... some black celebrity who had a wardrobe malfunction, so she had a fake boob hanging out of the side. She had the weave. Everyone knew who it was.
Yeah.
You don't need to go mammy.
Right.
Like, you just don't. So, what are you doing for Thanksgiving this year?
Thanksgiving, I'm going to be in Dubai.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
So you're having a real Arab Thanksgiving? A traditional American Thanksgiving.
No, I'm visiting our mutual friend.
Yeah, we have a mutual friend. Katie's going there for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. What if you guys have a Thanksgiving? Are you going to do it in the desert?
Oh, no. We're doing a traditional American Thanksgiving.
Nice. We've been in
she can cook.
We've been abroad, and that's when we've had the... Like, one year we were in Mexico for Thanksgiving. We were staying somewhere, and they went out of their way to prepare
really?
A Thanksgiving that we're
oh,
like,
nice.
We're here because we don't like Thanksgiving. We don't like turkey. I don't, what's the cranberry business? This year we decided to do a 1%
uh-huh.
Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yes.
What's the 1%?
We're going to stay at home. We're going to have lobster, caviar. We're going to have champagne.
Oh, that's nice.
And then we're just going to, because it's a lot, it's expensive, but mm-hmm. we're just two people.
Right.
So we're going to have like the most expensive, outlandish things that we have. We're going to celebrate the 1%. We're going to give thanks for the 1% this year.
That's hilarious.
That's my Thanksgiving.
Well, yeah, that's great. I'm going to be around with a bunch of expats.
Yes.
It's
going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
It's probably be more festive than it would be here.
Yeah.
And our 1% Thanksgiving does not include Kohl's, Target,
right.
Kmart, none of that.
I'm not running out to the outdoor bazaar.
Maybe we'll just stay
at
home
no.
and watch the Lifestyles of Rich and Famous. If we could download that from somewhere. They have champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
Yeah.
1% style. 1%. So, what have you got for Thanksgiving?
Well, this is a special edition of Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, gobble, gobble, gather around, everyone.
Yes.
Tales from the Campfire is when we take a folklore, a myth, fairy tales, fake lore, urban legends, tales of the paranormal. And we retell them around the digital campfire. So Katie is going to give you a special Thanksgiving tale from Der Campfire.
Thank you. This took place November 25th.
You're welcome. That was a hell of an introduction.
It was.
I feel like you are prepared.
It was really great.
Yeah. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
This took place November 25th, 1982.
Okay.
Thanksgiving night.
I remember the day.
My entire extended family was over for the holiday. I was 12.
Okay.
So that means this girl's 43.
Yep.
Okay. We all sat down in the dining room to eat our big dinner. My dad had led a prayer. My grandma's...
It's already creepy. I always just look around during prayer to see who else is not praying. I've been doing this since I was a kid.
I like the faces everyone makes. Like, suddenly they're, like, focused.
I like the person who opens one eye. I'm like, dude, you're not doing it. Like, don't half-step. They know.
My grandma started to cry and said we needed to pray for Mom, meaning her mother, my great-grandma.
I have the same story.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. Okay.
Her name was Bertha.
Sure was.
She was now 100 years old and in a care home.
Mm-hmm.
She was about to turn 101 years old. That's what comes after.
Yeah, that's it.
And her quality of life was not very good.
No, it wasn't.
My grandma asked God to take her.
Because she was ready to go.
She's tired.
Yeah. See?
The entire family bowed their heads and agreed. I'm sorry, but like...
This better not happen to me when I get old. I better not hear about someone being like, Jaquetta's ready to go. And then everyone being like, she's tired.
Take her now.
Don't
she's
tell
tired.
Me. Wait till what happens next.
My grandmother at the Thanksgiving, she was from Italy. Well, actually her parents were from Italy. And every Thanksgiving, she would start crying and say, I'm so glad my parents didn't miss the boat. And she'd cry. And then all of a sudden, she'd just stop crying. Go, okay.
Yeah, that was enough emotion.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay, back to the story. Okay. I gobbled my dinner down and snuck away from the table to play with a toy my grandmother had given me earlier that day. Now, mm-hmm. She's 12, so what has her grandmother given her? Blocks.
12?
Nothing.
Rubik's Cube?
I went and sat at the top of our basement steps while everyone continued to eat.
Here's where it gets creepy, people.
I was sitting there when I heard the shuffling noise. I looked to the bottom of the stairs.
And lo and behold, was it a guy with a hunchback?
Yes.
Thank you.
And he was wearing a black suit.
Yeah. Oh, that was left out.
And walking, and he used a cane walking at the bottom of the stairs.
Okay.
Look in the basement.
It's just so bizarre to me. It's like, is somebody with a hunchback that terrifying people?
Yeah, it is. Like, come on. It's like a little...
It's a deformity.
Yeah, okay. I froze. He turned his head and looked at me and shuffled off out of my view. It was in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped up and ran to tell people at the table what I just saw. I got the old, shoo, we're talking.
Shoo.
She's 12. Can I mention that? I was scared this person was not our guest that night. Well, if he's in the basement the whole day.
Yes.
Nobody bothers to tell you.
But that says something weird, like, were there other, there are other times where you just saw, like, a hunchback and you're like, no, he's with the group. Don't worry about it. Don't make a big deal out of it.
The next morning, the phone rang. My dad turned and told everyone that great-grand died this morning. I never forgot what
and
I saw.
And everyone was like, phew.
Good. We prayed.
Finally.
Our prayers came
Our prayers were answered. She's dead.
And then everyone clapped.
Yeah. And then they went to the reading of the will. Bastards.
I never forgot what I saw, but never understood who it was until 2005. She's 35 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
When my mom passed and I received a huge box of old family photos. I saw the old man in one of the photos. On the back, it said Otto.
Waiting for you.
That was great-grand's husband. He passed well before I was born. I had never seen him.
Well, debatable.
I knew then that there is definitely life after death. I saw my great-grandpa in the basement. I think he was there for the holiday and to take his wife Bertha to heaven the following morning.
From there and not from the hospital where she was. He probably got there and was like, this bitch isn't even here. Can you believe this? I'm just going to sit here for a while and rest.
Who gave me these directions?
Yes.
But why is he there for the Thanksgiving meal if he's in the basement?
Hungry.
But he's in the basement. I'm just saying.
Maybe that's what he did. That's how he do. Did. Will do forever.
So he stopped by the house first to see what was going on and was like, you know what? Like any good, rational relative, stay in the basement.
Yeah, just stay in the
Don't
basement.
Don't even...
That's what we do. Maybe there's liquor down there. Who
Maybe
knows?
He heard everyone say, no, it's really time for her to go.
Yeah.
Well, fine. I'm gonna...
He's like, this is really? This is what happened to me.
Nice.
These assholes sat around and prayed for me to die. Look what happened. Well played. Well played.
I'm going to give Bertha somehow.
So this is on great-grandma. I remember... Do you remember your great-grandmother?
I never met her.
My great-grandmother was just a very horrible person. She was very mean.
Oh.
She was nice to me, but she was mean to everybody else. Everybody.
That's awesome.
She was... And my poor grandmother...
She,
was with her mother for, like, she never got rid of her mother. Her mother lived with her entire life. And there was no love lost. And I wrote, my great grandmother was the kind of woman who would throw a wig at you. Just out of meanness. Because it's horrifying to see an older woman snatch her wig off.
She would take it off her own head?
And throw it at you. Oh. Just to be an asshole.
And what would you do?
What could you do? This is horrifying as a kid. You don't want to get hit by a wig. It's not done out of love. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not coming from a good place. And then I asked my father about my grandmother, or my great-grandmother, his grandmother. And he was like, she was such a nasty person that when she was younger, she would sit on the stairs out in front of the stoop. Because it's kind of like a, like in Brooklyn when you have those big stoops. She would sit out front of it. And when the neighbors would come by, she would sing nasty songs about them. Based on their behavior.
A parody.
So she was doing an SNL parody. Yes. If she felt they were promiscuous or... Hey,
slutty slut.
Yeah. And so she would sing these nasty songs about people. And I'm like, that's subtle.
That's
must be where I get it from. Can you imagine? You're just coming home, minding your own, and some old bitch has got a tune ready for you. Here comes Katie. You know, this kind of thing. There was an old lady from Nantucket kind of thing.
Oh, no.
And she was known for making up these songs.
And they were raunchy?
They were very raunchy. Yep. It wasn't like, she wasn't being clever, like alluding to things. She was like, fucking everyone's husbands. And then have a rhyme to go with it. And apparently when she was much younger, like in her late teens, she and her sister would go out dancing, supposed to be dancing with the guys, and would have everybody's money by the end of the night, having done nothing.
Oh, my God.
Classic. Classic woman. I'm sure her death was prayed for. She was not a friendly person. Not friendly.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
So,
what do you have?
Beer news.
Beer news is beer a segment news. That is really not a segment.
It's
but
up there with penis news.
You get one or the other. It's a segment, and so...
So I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So this is from a list of 10 bad beverage ideas. I just plucked the choicest piece from this.
10 bad beverage ideas.
I just gave you one here. It's the Thanksgiving dinner soda. So there's a company out there called Jones Soda Company, which I've seen their
sodas. I've
seen
the Jones. Yeah, root beer.
I've never had it because it's like that color doesn't exist on Earth. I'm not drinking it. So it says, as if the annual holiday fruitcake wasn't already unappealing, in 2004, Jones Soda found a way to make it even more gross, turning it into a soda. So they did a 5-flavor limited edition holiday pack of sodas, including the flavors green bean casserole.
Oh, that's what?
Mashed potato and butter soda.
Ew. Oh, my God.
Cranberry soda. Not
that's
bad.
All right.
And turkey and gravy soda.
Now that's
designed to give you all the flavor of Thanksgiving without requiring the chew. Jones is a Seattle-based company that specializes.
Because you got to get going to the Black Friday sale. So
it specializes.
Blimey, slow down.
In odd soft drinks, but they donate a portion of the proceeds to charity, and I'm sure that proceed is extremely small.
Yeah, and the charity's like, thanks.
Can you imagine a green bean?
We couldn't get 7-Up to do this.
Yes, green bean casserole soda. I would have like a giblets soda.
Ew.
Like turkey giblets. It's disgusting.
Ugh,
I'm not into
nasty.
It. Anyway, that's my beer news. There's no penis news this week, people.
Because it's Thanksgiving.
Because it's Thanksgiving. We're giving thanks for a lack of penis news.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I will do them.
All right.
This is a list.
It's about Thanksgiving.
Usually Katie has this a long ass list. I'm giving you 12.
I have like 50 to 100.
Yes. It's like 537.
I'm a
things.
Professional. Jaquetta's just phoning it in here.
Katie's the holder at the end of lists.
Yeah.
So 12 unusual and fascinating facts about wild turkeys.
Wild turkeys.
The origin of the name. It's actually named after the country.
Turkey.
I had no idea. Early European visitors to the Americas saw the creature, and it reminded them of a bird familiar to them back home, known as the turkey bird, which is actually the African guinea fowl, which came to Europe. And it looks a lot like turkeys here, so they called it turkey. Adult male turkeys are called toms.
Okay.
I did not know that. And females are called hens.
Oh, that's nice.
Young birds are called poults, and adolescents are called jake.
You know, I think someone's making that up. They're just looking around their family, like Tom, Jake.
It's Jake.
I can't explain Polk, though.
The turkey's bald head can change colors when they get excited or want to emote.
Like rainbow colors?
No, just red, white, or blue.
It's patriotic. That's exactly why they wanted it to be the bird of the U.S.
Turkey gobbles bird can be heard from a mile away, and they are quick on their feet, and they could reach a speed to 25 miles per hour.
See?
Which is kind of scary.
You can't outrun them.
I've seen them fly before. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
It's frightening. Yeah. In New Jersey, a couple years ago, they had a problem because they were flying across the highway and then going into people's windshields.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were taking them home.
Lot, yeah. All in Burgundy. Right.
Yes.
Putting them in the freezer.
Wild turkeys sleep in trees, and people are usually, they usually see them walking around, but people are surprised when they fly. They can only fly a short distance right into your car.
Yeah.
But they can go 55 miles an hour.
When they fly?
When they fly.
Well, why walk?
Yeah.
Why are they running? Why bother?
It's just in a short spurt.
Okay.
That's
fast.
A young poult.
You would never expect that from a turkey.
If you've seen them, it's frightening. A young poult is up and out of the nest and looking for food within 24 hours. They allege here that because there are as many as 18 eggs in a clutch, they're probably just trying to beat the rush.
Well, that's where they get the gobble-gobble from, because
they got to bust and move.
Right.
Tom turkeys show courting behavior, much like a peacock. Now, I have a problem.
All right.
Males also use their bird-like, quote-unquote, junk.
Their bird junk?
To attract hens.
What do they do? They're like, hey, look at this. Like Jersey.
I don't know
style.
What junk is. Junk means so many different things.
Well, this means genitals in this
No,
case.
It says including a bright snood on their beaks and the waddle under their beak. So I think they buy junk, they're talking about
their accoutrement.
Yeah, around their head. That makes it worse. Forget it, people.
Well, doesn't the hen see it anyway?
I guess so.
She just really puts it in their face.
I don't ever remember noticing the junk, as it were, in the modern sense of a turkey.
Yeah, right.
So it must be the head. There are 5 subspecies, not important. A group of turkeys can be described as a crop, a dole.
See, I think that's racist.
A gang. It gets worse. A posse.
Oh.
Or the most racist of all, and possibly anti-Catholic, a raffle.
I like that.
A raffle of turkeys. Viva Mexico. Domesticated turkeys took a circuitous route to America's dinner tables. They were first domesticated in Mexico and then exported to Europe, only to come back here a year later. How Mexican. Couldn't keep them out. Oh, it says presidential pardons. It is said that the first presidential pardon ever was given by Harry Truman in 1947. It was given to a turkey. So they do that every year.
Yeah, they do. They're presidents.
But they only live a year, usually, afterwards, because they release them into the wild, and those turkeys can't make it.
So it's bittersweet.
It is bittersweet. They taste freedom, but for a second. Their junk is free for, 1 year. And then the last fact is, in 1930s, and this is so American, we almost killed out all the turkeys. It's like one of our favorite things. We love to eat it.
Oh, you're here?
We're going to destroy you. We destroyed their habitat. We overhunted them. But recovery efforts, including those by the National Wildlife Federation and the Wild Turkey Federation, no relationship to the drink, has been successful. And there are now 7 million wild turkeys in North and Central America.
And they're all in Northern Jersey.
Yeah, they're mostly in Northern Jersey.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's a bountiful area.
It's like bears and turkeys. And at the end of days, that's what's going to be in New Jersey.
bears
and turkeys. And some weird kind of bear-turkey hybrid.
And then whatever humans are left, they're going to either have like bear pelts.
Yeah.
And then the other one's going to have
turkey
feathers.
The Jersey devil is. It's actually a bear-turkey. Jerseyite. So those are some 12 amazing facts about turkey. I should have probably said, put on a helmet because...
Yeah, that was
blown. So what do you have?
I want to talk about Sarah Hale.
Okay. We're gonna get historical on you.
Yeah. Sarah Hale was born in 1788 and she died in 1879.
That's sad.
She was
She lived to be old back then.
Yeah.
She's a witch. Clearly.
Well, she was a writer and editor of a popular women's magazine, The Goodies Lady Journal.
The Goodies Lady Journal?
And she was born on a New Hampshire farm,
mm-hmm.
and she had a limited education, only from family members, and she taught herself the rest. She married a lawyer, and then when he died, she started writing to support herself and her children.
I have to say, I was just listening to some podcast from ABC Gotham, and they were talking about the... every once in a while they talk about women, and it's like they if you marry the right guy, and by the right guy I mean someone who will die soon, you have a career afterwards.
Right, right,
back
right.
in the day.
If the guy had money and died, then you're able to do something.
Which is, you know, makes it kind of fishy, but...
Yeah. She co-published a book of poems with her sister-in-law, and it was well-received, and then because of that, she became the editor of a New Woman's magazine named...
The Goodies.
Yeah, and she left her children behind temporarily to go and that's to what be I'm an saying. Editor. She moved to Boston to do this.
So the trick back in the day was to marry someone and then have them mysteriously die soon after the marriage. Allegedly.
So the magazine became the American Ladies Magazine, and she hoped she could use it as a way to further the education of women.
To sneak it in.
Sneak it in, right. And so one of the things she did, she included the works of Edgar Allan Poe and Henry Longfellow and Ralph Waldo Emerson and
Poe.
Sarah Hale suggested that women should be educated, and not only that, but receive a similar education as men.
A dangerous woman.
Right.
Keep in mind the men's education back then was pretty bad too.
Yeah.
So it's not like you. The bar was high.
She advocated for female teachers and doctors. So she wanted everybody.
Lady doctors.
Lady doctor. And not like sexy lady doctor.
Yes.
Like a Halloween costume. A real lady doctor.
Yes. An actual lady doctor.
But one of the things she did and why I'm bringing her up is that she wanted to have a Thanksgiving holiday as a national holiday.
Okay.
And for about 20 years, she wrote to whatever president was in office at the time, saying, we need a Thanksgiving holiday.
And they were like, a woman who can write. How quaint.
It's that nice.
Burn it.
Right. Crumple. And she kept going on and going on. You know,
she wouldn't stop. You know how we do.
And it's like, I guess I would imagine like every president, like, okay, this is where the Oval Office is. This is this.
Here's the Sarah Hale pile.
Sarah Hale's going to write you about this Thanksgiving.
Just know that she's a woman and you don't have to listen to what she says.
Right. Yes.
She probably got her brother to write this thing.
Yeah. And yeah, we're all shaking our heads here.
Yeah.
So she finally got to Abraham Lincoln, who
just would take anything.
Yeah.
He was open to suggestions. Yeah. He's like, what? Fine, print it.
And just like we saw in the movie Lincoln, he probably sat on somebody's desk and told a story and was like, oh, I love this. You know,
I haven't seen the movie yet.
You have to see it because
I have this thing
Daniel
where
Day-Lewis.
I like to read more about people first before I see Hollywood's representation of
them.
That's all.
What I learned from that movie, I knew enough about Lincoln.
That Daniel Day-Lewis is an amazing actor.
Well, of course he is. Once he could fit his head in through this onto the set, then he was, of course he was fine. Like, but he portrayed Lincoln as like kind of waltzing in, and everyone's like, not waltzing, but you know, he comes in and everyone's like, what, it's
Twinkle
Lincoln.
Toes.
And then Lincoln would kind of like sit on somebody's desk and then tell this like anecdote that had nothing to do with anything and then tie it all together. And everyone's like, he's brilliant. So.
He might have just been rambling.
Yeah.
And they were foolish. Anyway.
Yeah.
I have some Abraham Lincoln Band-Aids. It says, I will heal a nation.
Yes.
I will heal you as I heal a nation. I love that.
Yeah, so finally she got to him and it stuck. And so he decided, yeah, you know what? Thanksgiving is a great idea.
He probably said it like that too. But Daniel Day-Lewis made it a big thing.
Yeah.
This is a story. It's a butt cheek on someone's desk. Uninvited.
And there we go. And then there was like some kind of kerfuffle where it was going to be either the second to last Thursday or the last Thursday. And it was like the last Thursday. And
I like that they picked, like, that's my favorite thing about Thanksgiving is you know when it's going to be every year. You don't need to know the date of it. Like Christmas, they could have done that. Because let's be honest.
Right.
It has about as much to do with what it's supposed to be as anything else. Yeah, yeah, they could have said it's the last Thursday. Thanksgiving, you always get a long weekend.
Yeah.
Always.
But even back then, they were like, oh, let's have it be the second to last Thursday so there's more Christmas season. Even then, they wanted
Oh, they were
more.
Angling for it. So
yeah.
They wanted to be earlier.
Yeah, but it was like, no, we already made it this the
I
last
feel
Thursday.
Like if the Christmas season gets any longer, it's just going to be too much. I think I feel like some people have been saying that they're trying to just get it rolling from... Because you notice after Halloween, the Christmas stuff is up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I haven't even seen anything for Thanksgiving.
I didn't even see any discount Halloween candy out.
Girl, that shit was gone. I went to get my candy corn.
Gone.
Nothing.
I went after work, and I was like, look.
No, too late. They're not. They got your game, Katie Kazmir.
They know.
They know you're out on the hunt. They put that stuff right away until next year, and they're bringing out full price. They don't care.
Bastards.
Yeah.
She was the one who did this. And, you know, and she also wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb, if you really need to know who this woman is. You know, but come on.
What is that really about? Mary Had a Little Lamb.
About cocaine.
And you heard it here first.
But listen, you know.
She was on the white horse.
Sarah Hale, sure, you were trying to do something good, but you really have made dysfunctional families so much more so with this holiday.
Crime, that's a big crime holiday. That's a big, you know, take a swing at your cousin holiday.
Yeah, a lot of suicides.
Yeah, people get very depressed.
A lot of deaths.
So boo on you and your learning,
Your book learning for ladies.
And your, what is it, Goodies Ladies Magazine.
Yeah, medicine for ladies.
Baddies.
Medicine learning.
Boo. Nice, I like it.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
You know, every year, millions of people, and this has got to be a new thing, are deep frying.
This has been going on for a while.
But when people did it start?
People in the South do this.
They do? I've never heard of it.
All right.
Must be more Southern. Well, I'm from Maryland, but I'd never heard of deep frying it's a whole turkey.
I know. And people put frozen turkeys in.
Like, well, here's the thing. I'm going to give you two people right now some tips on how to fry your turkey indoors.
Okay. What?
Completely thaw the turkey out.
Yes.
Or use a fresh turkey.
All right.
Who is doing, like, people injure themselves because they drop, which is basically like a ice in the shape of a turkey, into hot oil.
And
they scald themselves. The second tip is, please take the wrapper off the turkey. And remove and discard the neck and giblets. Mm-hmm. This leads me to believe there are people out there who've never cooked a turkey ever, just flinging the thing in. Add oil to the fryer, but do not exceed the maximum fill line. Nobody pays attention to that. Preheat the oil to 400. While it's heating, pat down the turkey with some paper towels and prepare it with seasonings, marinades, or injected flavors.
Ew.
Shoot your turkey up.
Ew.
With some ranch.
Yeah, right, ranch. Ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing. Once the oil is heated, and this is probably what people don't do, it says slowly lower the turkey into the fryer.
Why lower it slowly when you could do it fast?
Well, you can just fling it. You can bowl it in. You can fling it across the room. The turkey may not be totally immersed. This may cause the top part of the breast to remain white, even though it's cooked. Set the timer and cook the turkey for 3 to 4 minutes per pound. In my mind, when you deep fry something, it's quick.
Yeah.
This is going to be in the deep fryer for like, what, 45 minutes?
Yeah. That outside's going to be crispy.
The whole thing, it's just going to, when I imagine when you lift the turkey out, there's no oil left.
Yeah, but what about the nice smell of like a baking turkey?
What about the nice smell of seared flesh and the sound of people screaming? When the turkey is done, slowly lift it from the pot and then place it on a paper towel and drain.
A roasting turkey, not
as if.
What?
Let the turkey stand for 20 minutes before removing it from the rack to carve it. Have you ever had a fried turkey?
No, I haven't. Because I told you. I would never.
In my mind, it's always one of those things where you put it in to roast.
It's a roasting turkey.
Yeah.
Not a baked turkey like a cookie.
Yeah. But it's like a whole process of putting it in.
Stuffing and putting the thing
like,
on
top. I don't eat turkey, but I have fond memories as a kid of the whole process of the stuffing and the gravy and all that kind of stuff.
My mother put like a soaked cloth of something on top. And I was like, oh, you have to put the cloth on it. I don't even know what that meant.
Beforehand? While it was in the oven. Oh, yeah. To keep it moist.
Yeah.
Probably. But like this is, I mean, I guess if you just don't want to do all of that, you can always just deep fry it. I'm just imagining people flinging it into the thing, which is, I'm sure, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because thousands of people end up in the emergency room. So heed our warning here, people.
Stop. Yeah.
Fry your turkey right.
Yeah.
Do it right.
Fry it right.
Yeah. Or just bake it. I don't know.
Okay.
What do you have?
I have advice.
Okay. So Advice on Advice is a segment where we take advice from the internet that is unqualified, frankly, stinks. P.U. We have to hold our noses while reading it. And we critique it, giving advice on that advice, hence the title, Advice on Advice.
All right.
So we have some Thanksgiving advice.
This is from Dear Prudence.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Over the past few years, I've celebrated Thanksgiving with my boyfriend's family, which includes his alien elderly grandmother.
Excuse me? Alien?
Ailing.
Ailing.
Did I say alien?
That's what I heard. Ailing. Okay.
But this year, his family is demanding that we pay a cover. We're each being charged $40 per person for a standard Thanksgiving dinner, uh-huh. not catered. Both my boyfriend and I are outraged. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a freeloader. I'd be happy to cook a dish or eight dishes and bring those to dinner. But paying $40 for a turkey dinner with family, that's ridiculous. Especially yeah. since I'm a graduate student and money is always tight.
Also, it doesn't cost that much.
Yeah.
I bet you if you break it down anyway.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my boyfriend has agreed to suck it up and cover up the
$40. $80?
He hates that he has to pay a fee, but he refuses to stand up to his family.
Wait, he also has... Is that just...
Per head.
Who...
Meanwhile, he feels like he has to go to the dinner because he doesn't want to hurt his grandmother's feelings by skipping out because she's alien.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My question is this. Should I suck
that
it up
too?
That
old bitch is not alien enough to not collect money at the door. Is there a rope? I'm not going. What?
Should I suck it up too and pay the fee? And no. aside from my boycotting the meal, what can I do to communicate to the family that making money off us at Thanksgiving is unacceptable?
I can't believe this. No, this is actually shocking to me that somebody would invite people over for a meal and then ask for a cover.
Devil's advocate. What about this family that is putting out... Thanksgiving
Don't
can
do it.
Be expensive.
Don't do it then. Or do potluck.
Yeah.
Ask everybody to bring something.
Yeah.
You know, like really coordinate it. But I mean, if I'm having a party at my house...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm inviting people to come over. And there's some kind of an obligation. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I can ask them for money.
Right, right, right.
I mean, $40, $80 is a lot of money for some people.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Like,
actually, you know what? I've given money on my own because I don't want to bring anything.
That's different. If it's a potluck situation, you're like, I'm not bringing anything. You can bring some money.
I'm traveling. I don't want to cook a thing.
Yeah.
I have to bring it. I'll bring some money.
I mean, most
people...
I
bring some wine and some money.
Yeah, most people bring some booze.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a side or something. Or they offer to help clean up afterwards. But there's no way. If I don't have the money, I'm not having the party.
Yeah. I guess this year you could be grateful that your boyfriend's family is not demanding you pay $80 ahead.
Really?
Because
it's going to go up.
Putting in place a cover charge is not the way to engender good feelings.
Mm-mm.
And unless his family is getting the meal catered, 40 a person sounds like a lot for white meat and sweet potato casserole.
That's what I'm saying. If you're having the meal catered or you guys are going out, I would say go for it.
Yeah.
But there's no way in hell this ratty-ass family is cooking a $40 a head meal. Yeah, like, yeah, you can go to a restaurant.
Well, what about wine? I'm going to argue again. What about wine and hors d'oeuvres?
I'm going to go ahead and say these people are not having wine.
I'm going to say...
And they're probably not having hors d'oeuvres.
Because think about that. If you were going to go out to dinner... It's like $40 and you have a couple of glasses,
but
a couple of drinks.
That's nicer. Yeah. And you're being served.
Yeah.
You know, by a staff.
On the other hand, maybe the burden of the meal usually falls on one family member and he or she can't handle it. In that case, there's nothing wrong with people contributing, so no one goes broke. But if you do it by announcing a cover charge, your boyfriend should... Well, but you don't do it by announcing a cover charge.
Yeah, you don't.
Your boyfriend should explain that he'll pay the full freight... Yeah, pay the full freight and something to cover your meal, but the finances are too tight to pay the listed price. So it's make like a museum. Do what you can. Don't pay the...
So you're saying the next party I have, I should let people know that there's a cover charge to get in. Don't have it.
No.
I think the problem is we had a couple of years ago, we had a thing like this too. It was like, we're talking about gift exchanging.
Yeah.
And one couple was very wealthy, mm-hmm. and they had all these wealthy friends, but the husband had lost his job.
Yeah.
But they still wanted to, you know, exchange the gifts and pretend like they're wealthy. At a certain point, you just got to come clean and be like, I'm broke as a joke.
Yeah.
I don't have the money. That's when you do a potluck.
Yeah.
So that everybody can bring... Because inevitably in that situation, you're going to have some people who have more money who are going to bring, like, the big items.
Right.
And then you're going to have some people who are just going to bring smaller things, rolls,
mm.
you know, sweet potato, or contribute a wine, or contribute in other ways. But to ask everybody to... I mean, what, if you bring a kid, do they have to pay $40 or is it a reduced price for children?
Probably half price for children.
If I just swing by and say hello? Is that $10?
Yeah, probably.
I have a pizza. What if I just come for dessert? $5?
Sure.
I feel like $40 is a lot.
$40 is a lot. It also depends where you are in the country.
Yeah, this better be in New York for $40.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you sound more like open-minded about it than me. I'm like, hell
no. No, I don't think they should. I think this is something that everybody I think a discussion should have been had, like, do we want to do potluck? Or do you want to contribute something towards the meal with the family?
You can also say, like, we're poor. We just can't do Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah.
We don't have that much to give thanks for.
Right.
That's so
weird. It's
going to
be pizza this year. Come on over.
And it's odd to me because I come from a very modest community. Mm-hmm. And I had some friends growing up or some relatives who didn't have very much money at all. But they would never, ever, ever have asked for anything. It's like, that's the one time of year where you open your home up for hospitality.
Yeah.
And you give whatever you can. That's kind of the point, right? No?
Yeah, of course it is the point. Yes. Of course it is the point.
I imagine you're going to get over to these people's house, they have like 2 jet skis.
No, but if you're talking about, let's talk about dysfunction for a second, where somebody is then like, the family that hosts is like, of course, come over. And and then behind everybody's backs, they say, notice this one only brought rolls. This one only brought the green beans.
I don't know. I feel like that's one of the, like, I've thrown parties before, and you probably have too when you're younger. And you're like, everyone's bringing a bottle. And some guy rolls up at a 6-pack. And you're like, you better just drink those yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, I feel like as a host, when you open your home to people, it's like with the because you don't know what other people's situations are either.
That's the thing. I have always, whenever I have people over, I always pay.
Yeah, I do too. And it's kind of like, so when they come over to your house later, are you going to be like, what's up, Broham? You need to get up off a 20 spot. If you're going to come up in here and have some.
No.
That's what I mean.
I'm just saying, like, if you don't want to bring something,
fine.
Then
that's on me. Then I don't invite you next time. But it's just so, I can't. Like I said, once again,
it's easier for me to carry a 20 than to carry a dish.
That's fine. If you want to give that of your own thing
yes,
I can't. But this is not the situation. The situation is, you're not coming in here.
Unless you go.
And that's a very, so, I mean, you worked in restaurants.
Yeah,
I've done restaurants and catering type stuff. A 40, and I've organized my own wedding. Like, mm-hmm. I've been involved in $40 a head?
Yeah.
I better see some damn spread up in this piece.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm talking about,
maybe they're having a 1% dinner.
Yeah, but the 1% doesn't ask the other 1% to pay.
I know, right?
Like, we're just going to play 1%. And that one, you know, in our house, just the two of us. But if I was going to do a big meal for all of these people,
they say, I wonder if they'll say, sorry, no seconds for people who didn't pay the full cover.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't have a second.
Yeah.
Put in 20 and then one serving.
Yeah.
Oh, and then what about, if you pay, then you have to get, like, a to-go container.
Oh, hell yeah. If I pay, I am bringing Tupperware with me.
Yeah.
I'm bringing some Glad, you know, some, all kinds of things. Is there juice? Because I could take some home.
Yeah.
Before I can't eat $40. Worth of a buffet.
Right. Really.
You know, you get a Vegas buffet and $40 is a lot. If I'm paying $40, I better see a chocolate fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Like unlimited beer, wine, and soft drinks.
Yeah.
Like, come on, that's a lot.
On the other hand, I have a little more advice.
Okay. We trounce that advice.
Yeah. Okay. My husband and I are having Thanksgiving dinner at our dearest friend's house with he and his partner.
That's already bad. Dearest is a tip-off.
We did this last year, and it was lovely, except for one weird exchange with the partner.
Okay.
I asked last year if we could what we could bring, and he said, bring whatever we wanted. So
that was a test.
Yeah. So I made my favorite stuffing to serve as a side dish. It's a family recipe, very dear to me.
Mm-hmm. Let me guess.
Partner was extremely upset because he already made stuffing and felt like I was trying to outdo him or take charge or something. He was pretty passive-aggressive about it that evening, making comments about how it took up too much space or was redundant.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Did she bring a massive amount of stuffing to this place?
This year, I asked what to bring, and he said, bring a side again or whatever I wanted. How do I avoid a scene again? Do we just show up with a bottle of wine? I feel like it's important to contribute, but I don't want the drama.
Yes.
No, you ask. You say,
but this person is being shady. You know what I mean? So they said bring a side or whatever you want.
Right.
This person has no intention of letting you bring something and have your dish be star.
But I think this is also opening up a conversation. Bring whatever you want. Oh, I can bring X, Y, or Z.
But
that sounds good. Why don't you bring that?
Last time she brought a stuffing, which I think is legitimate. Because you can't ever have enough stuffing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it was belittled at the scene.
At the scene.
At the scene. So it's kind of like wine. You know, like at this, I think you would agree with this. Booze is all.
Booze is 100%.
It's always good. I mean, if I had a potluck and I prepared, you know, sides and a main dish, and 10 people came and everybody bought a bottle of booze, that's a damn good party.
Yeah, and also, don't forget to bring booze already in your body.
Yes, please bring it internally. You should already have pre-booze before you bring the booze. But it's like if someone brings a dish, even if I don't like it, because I don't eat meat, but if someone brings something and it has some meat in it, like I've gone to things, I'm like, I'm not going to turn this away. I'm not going to make this person feel uncomfortable. I'm at least going to put it on my plate or, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, come on. This is a trap.
This is a trap on both ends.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think it's somebody like who said whatever I wanted, so I brought it. No, you have a conversation and communicate with each other.
Yeah, yeah, they could. That's our advice, yeah. Don't leave it at whatever you want. Be like, I would say, look, last year I bought stuffing. You already had stuffing.
And you said, and you didn't want too much stuff.
And you didn't want too much stuff. So let's
avoid
that.
I can make a quesadilla.
That. Yeah.
I can make guacamole. I can bring rolls.
Yeah.
What would you? Anyway, booze. The answer is, obviously, he should have graciously served your stuffing and said how delicious it was.
Mm-hmm. Even if it tasted like ass.
Yeah. However, unless you say, can I bring stuffing, it seems like a bad choice for Thanksgiving. You wouldn't show up with a plate of turkey legs either. So to decide what you'd like to bring, then check it out with them. Say, I was thinking of green beans or almonds or brownies.
I find this so bizarre because maybe you were raised the same way that I was. If I made a chocolate cake for dessert and I invited you and a group of people to my house and you also brought a chocolate cake, guess what? I'm putting my chocolate cake away.
Yeah, it never happened.
I'm putting your chocolate cake out.
Absolutely. That's what you do. But the conversation needs to happen. I don't know how many family, anything.
I agree, but I feel like when you're the host, you always have to suck it up.
Yes.
No matter what it is, if the chocolate cake is nasty, doesn't matter. It gets a special place out there because you're the guest and you brought it.
Yeah.
And that's how you do.
That's being.
Everybody invites people to their house that they don't like. Mm-hmm. And people bring, like my mom's a terrible cook. So I imagine every time he went to something, they were just like, oh, for the love of sweet. But her stuff never got thrown to the side.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't eat it.
Yeah. Right.
Because I know better.
Right.
And then eventually, then she just brings cups. You know?
Brings solo cups.
Yes. Or you know, something from a bakery that she hasn't made herself. But it's like, these people just don't know how to act.
Nobody does. In this
$40.
Whole, in this whole thing. In this whole situation.
Yeah.
Turning up their nose and being nasty about
stuff. There's too much stuffing? I mean, for whom? That sounds awful. I like in the past, we have gone out to dinner with friends much easier. Everyone can get whatever they want, and we just split the check. Although that would probably be a whole other thing.
Yeah, splitting the bill.
Splitting
I didn't
the bill.
Have that.
When you go out with a group of people, just split it. There's four of you, split it four ways. I don't care who had a soup and who had two drinks.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Bizarre. So I hope everybody out there has a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
And, you know, take it easy on Black Friday. If you guys are really going to do Black Friday, you should go take a look at the older Hey You Know It's, because we give you some tips on how to do Black Friday and do it right.
That's
without getting maced.
Yeah.
So be safe.
We're looking out for you.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. And yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
What's he shaking your head?
I just
growling. Poe, why?
Yeah. Well, because I'm from Maryland and he's like our big guy. But like the more you learn about Poe, the more you're like, Poe. Just
come
a
on.
Wastrel.
Just a what?
A wastrel.
A wastrel?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that one. What's a wastrel?
He couldn't keep it together. I mean, when you hear about alcoholism now, it's like, you got nothing on Poe.
Right. Yeah,
you got nothing
true.
On
yeah,
him.
He had a lot of issues.
He had a lot of issues.
What did he, and his cousin?
Didn't
his
he marry
cousin?
Like
he
a,
married his
like
famous,
a three-year-old cousin or something crazy like that?
13-year-old cousin.
He was in Baltimore. That's already bad.
And then she died, and he was like, I gotta write a poem.
Anyway.
Yeah,
they gloss over that in the films, but that the woman is his cousin, and she was like four.
Yeah, so Sarah...